Big night for us, Doran. Big night for Jeff Hathorn. We're going to get into the Steelers possibly making a trade for a wide receiver with Jeff coming up in just a minute. Jeff brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Safeguard your gutters from spring showers with Gutter Helmet by Lednor Home Solutions. Jeff, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good, man. Mm-hmm. We're going to be throwing out the first pitch tonight. You'll be on the call, play-by-play, KDKA AM, as Pitt takes on West Virginia in the backyard base brawl. How about that?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Now, who's throwing? I assume Doran's throwing since it's a Pitt home game.
So that's what I thought, and then Doran has ceded it to me. He knows this is a lifelong dream. I don't know if Pitt's going to allow me to do it, though, Jeff. I do have concerns about that.
I mean, they are giving a gift to the West Virginia head coach because it's, you know, he's retiring after the year. Maybe this is his second gift to allow you to pitch, and maybe it'll be his biggest regret. He'll see you pitch and think, we could have had this guy.
They could have. I still have eligibility left.
He's going to skip it in, Jeff.
No way.
He's definitely skipping in. There's no way if he throws from the rubber that he's making it across the plate.
Of course I am.
No. You are going up to the top of the mound. I mean, there's no standing in front, is there?
If they're going to let me do it, I would hope they would let me do it from the top of the mound.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to let the West Virginia guy do it, I think you're hoping that there's a chance for some big-time embarrassment, Jeff. And the best chance for that is to put me up as far away as possible. But we're excited about the broadcast too, Jeff. So it'll be you, and then Susie Cool will be bouncing around the dugouts, right? And then she's also going to be doing color.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, we're going to talk to head coach Mike Bell during the game and talk to one of the Pitt players. And yeah, she's going to be down there. There might be some other people that show up for the game that she will go talk to during it. So it's going to be cool. And listen, for these, there's a ton of locals for Pitt and a couple for West Virginia, and to get to play at PNC Park is pretty awesome for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either. I hope the weather holds up. It looks like it is. It looks like we're going to get the rain maybe a little bit before then, and things should clear up by game time. First pitch, what, 7 o'clock, Jeff?
Yes.
And then our first pitch is about 6:45.
Yes.
I'm nervous already.
I can tell.
Should I just catch? Just let me catch.
All right, fine.
I've backed out. I've backed out already.
What? All right, Doran, if he catches, like, are you going to, like, fire one in?
There's no doubt.
Yeah, bring it.
I'm firing it in.
If it's you, you got to bring it.
Firing it.
I say we do it like this. People are probably annoyed with as much as we've talked about it already, but here's what I would say. If they let me do it, I think I'd do it. If they tell me to go bleep myself because I'm a West Virginia dork, then you do it and you throw it as hard as you possibly can.
Sounds good.
All right, there we go. Callis has volunteered to go over to the Green Tree Fields after the show and be my catcher for a little bit. Let me warm up the old arm. I'll put it on ice.
Yeah. He's really overthinking this. Look at him. He's all nervous.
I am nervous. All right. Jeff, the Steelers, CT ESPN is reporting that a significant wide receiver deal is about to go down. And then a guy that we actually trust, even though we probably should at this point trust AB, Brian McFadden says he's heard that the Steelers could be adding a significant playmaker. Have you heard anything on this? Would it make sense? What would make sense for a possible return going back the other way in a wide receiver deal?
Yeah, I mean, probably the worst thing I could say is I don't know what exactly that he put up the Brian McFadden signal for, but I don't know what exactly he put up the Brian McFadden signal for. I think we've all been trying to figure out, okay, what is it? We know it's – at first it's like, okay, Pat Pete's coming back. And it's not that. Then it's, okay, maybe it's a corner or some other playmaker, and then we know it's a wide receiver, but we don't know – who it is. It depends on who it is as far as their compensation back. And who knows, it might be a free agent signing. So there'd be no compensation at all. So I guess we'll find out. CTESPN. I will say this. At first, you kind of watch that and you're like, okay, what's AB? And there's actually some clever stuff on there. It's actually pretty funny account.
Yeah, it is.
It is very funny, and clever is a word. I'll just point people to the AB account. I cannot describe this on the air. He wants Shannon Sharp to buy a medicine ball with a certain appendage attached to that. Yes. That's all we can say.
Jeff, what's a bigger need in your opinion? Getting a number two corner or a number two wide receiver? If the Steelers are snooping around and they do have money to spend and they do have those two holes to fill, what is actually an immediate need, and what is more important, receiver two or corner two?
How about a two-way player that could do both?
Because what's Deion's kid up to?
Right? I mean, I would like to have a number two receiver, especially a veteran in that room, someone that's done it, that's more consistent than the two veterans, Watkins and Van Jefferson, that they signed. But yeah, corners are nice at it. I know they have a little bit of depth that is very young and Trice and obviously the sixth round pick. So I would probably say at this point corner, but I want them both.
Do you think their interest in Cam Sutton is real, Jeff, or were they just trying to check a box by talking to him?
I do think that they wanted to talk to him, and I do think that that did happen, and I do think it is a possibility. Ultimately, it's not going to come down to me. People say, oh, with Mike Tom, it's going to be what Art Rooney thinks. He'll look at it. He'll talk to him. He'll be a part of this. Does he feel like whatever happened, allegedly, you know, where is it at? Is there an explanation? Is there not of the what was alleged, but why he ran away for a couple of weeks? I mean, that's what he's got to divulge. And then that is an Art question. And then they'll go from there. But I do think the interest is real, but I don't anticipate anything imminent. I think they're going to take their time if they were to sign Cam Sutton back.
Jeff, who was your favorite pick of the draft?
Oh, you know, it seemed like everyone I liked. I mean, Frazier, I think, is an immediate starter. He jumps right in. And then that highlight tape of McCormick came out, and it's like, let's go. I mean, that was pretty awesome. I mean, there's some – I like all the picks. I really do. I think there's value towards the end. I think Peyton Wilson has a chance to be a really unique linebacker in Steeler history. I can't imagine why he went – lasted till 98. I mean, maybe that will prove out over time. Because I like the underdogs, I'm going to go with McCormick. And the fact that, you know, Omar Khan, you know, came out and said, listen, we've got someone who, not by name, but James Daniels, who's got a contract, and this guy might take your job, James. And I thought that was pretty strong words, so I want to see this guy play.
Jeff, flipping over to the Pirates just for a few minutes here. They can't hit right now. It's 50 runs in 19 games. That's 2.6 runs per game. That's just not going to do it. Jared Jones is 2-3. We know how good he's been this year. They're wasting a ton of good starting pitching performances. Is it the low-hanging fruit? Is it too easy? Is it talk radio fodder to say, like, Andy Haynes, Derek Shelton? There seems to be this one-size-fits-all approach where these guys are routinely in two strike counts, Jeff. I mean, do you think that's what's happening here?
For some guys, I think a lot of times that O'Neill Cruz is in two strike counts because he swings and misses to get to 0-2. I talked to John, I did the postgame show last night and talked to John Wehner, and he said, you know, there was all this optimism coming out of spring training of like, you're going to get 20 home runs out of every position. I mean, look at the power on this team. And if they just had that, if there was that power bat, how it would be so transformative for this lineup. But they don't have it. I mean, look at it last night. It's Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz. You kind of like that top three. I love Kutch. He's an all-time great. He's not a cleanup hitter at this point in his career. And then Sawinski's not hitting. Cruz isn't hitting, you know, in the three in yesterday's lineup. You're getting no power. There are no easy runs. I mean, the A's are like seventh in major leagues in home runs. They're worst in batting average, but at least they can get some easy runs.
Yeah.
Pirates can't get any easy runs, and I think all of this adds up. Yes, you can blame the coaches, and they have a part in this, but guys just aren't performing. I mean, Cruz and Sawinski, they have to start driving the ball, and Tellez has just been – he's just been a disaster at first base.
He has. And they have Lamb in AAA who's been hitting well. They've got Nick Gonzalez who's hitting well. They've got Jiwon Bae. They've got Yasmani Grandal who's now caught six games. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, at what point do you pull the trigger if for nothing else just to bring a new body in there?
Yeah.
I realize it's AAA. It's not always the same. And I know with Lamb you have to make a roster move, so that's a little trickier. but man, Gonzalez is on the 40 man. Bay's on the 40 man. Triolo's been okay, but not so much that you couldn't send him down and try something else.
Yeah.
And Triolo, he had a 4-game hitting streak, but I think they're all 4 singles. So he's not really driving the ball either.
Yeah, you've got to stop the bleeding here, and you got to score some runs. So I would be up for any of those things. Jeff, we appreciate the time. We will see you tonight at PNC Park.
Loosen up that arm. Let's mm-hmm. go, boys. Mm-hmm. This will be fun.
Thanks, Jeff.
Rotator cuff here. Thanks, Jeff. Guys. It's our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Good stuff on the Steelers and the Pirates. You can hear Jeff on the play-by-play call tonight for Pitt, West Virginia, the backyard base brawl at 7 p.m. on KDKA AM. Coming up next, we kind of got into this a little bit with Jeff. Let's just have a longer-form discussion. We didn't get into it too much yesterday, Doran. The biggest holes now on the Steelers roster, less than when they got into the draft, but I still think there are a couple of glaring ones. We'll do that next, and you can call us at 412-928-9370, and you can text us. Same number, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, we were asking for this to happen. Callis said he'd get us into the segment, then he has to run to the bathroom. He drank his first ever full cup of black coffee today because he likes the health benefits that he's read about. He wants to be able to have more energy in the morning, and we thought it might upset his bowels, and here we are. With it doing just that.
Of course.
But he said he does have a renewed sense of focus.
Mm-hmm.
He's locked in today.
Doesn't like the taste, so he's probably not going to do it again.
Every single one of us, when we tried coffee for the first time, without creamer, without sugar, without any of the flavors, we didn't like it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know that I like it now. I just put up with it.
Right.
And I don't want to put in the artificial stuff because that winds up being not good for you. Wonder how long he'll be in there.
Probably the whole segment.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. 412-928-9370, the phone number. What are the biggest holes now on the Steelers roster now that the draft is over? There are rumors out there that they're interested or close to acquiring, in fact, a big-name wide receiver. These from Antonio Brown, CTESPN, and Steelers Super Bowl champion Bryant McFadden. Before we get into that, let's go to the phones at 412-928-9370. Matt in the car next up. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I was just wondering how you would feel. I love the Fatano pick, but how would we be feeling today if we took the cornerback, if we took Mitchell? Do you think we would be in a better place even though the Fatano pick was such a luxury pick and great?
I don't look at Fatano as a luxury pick. I mean, I've been saying the whole time, the more you start Dan Moore Jr., the more you're putting your quarterback's health into question with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, who do take a lot of sacks anyway. Look, I like Quinyon Mitchell. We talked about him a lot. And at 20, we liked him a lot more than if they would have had to trade up and get him at 12. And I think the Eagles got a really good football player. But I wanted tackle round one, center round two, wide receiver round three. I said so much before the draft. They did it. I can't complain.
Well, I mean, you do rely on your pass rush whenever you're a defensive backfield and in defense. And this defense is, you know, one of the highest paid defense. We already know that with T.J. Watt and Hawks Highsmith. So to be able to rely on T.J. Watt to get sacks and to not have to cover as long, I know it's very minute to some people, but not to have to cover as long does help out defensive backfields. And having T.J. Watt is a luxury out of anything. So you can probably put that down the list and bolster your offense. You need to score points, and you need to protect your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you know that the quarterbacks that you brought in is a boost from what you had last year. But as a quarterback, individually, those two took the most sacks in the NFL. So if you want to eliminate a con of their game, not an Omar Khan, but a con, C-O-N, of their game.
Nice.
You would want to help them in the pocket and make sure that they're clean. So I think that corner, you can shift that down the list if you're looking at really what you need to do as a team, and that's bolstered the offense, and that's what they did.
So I'm looking at the depth chart here for three positions of need for me: wide receiver, corner, and D-line. And what you said there about getting pressure on the quarterback makes a lot of sense to me. I think the cornerback room is the one that has me most concerned, but because you've got that pass rush, I'm not as concerned as I am about wide receiver, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think 5-6 years ago, if you had Russell Wilson, it wouldn't so much matter who you had at wide receiver, because he'd run around like a chicken with his head cut off, and he'd make the big plays. He'd find the big-time receivers down the field. He'd work off of play action, things like that, and he'll still do some of those things. I don't know that Russell Wilson's a guy who elevates anymore. I think he's a guy that needs good position players around him. And so if you add Cortland Sutton, who had 10 touchdowns with Russell Wilson last year, I think that'd be a significant upgrade. Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Adams, all these guys have, in some form or fashion, even T. Higgins, been connected at least loosely to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's for a reason. I think that's because Omar Khan knows exactly what we're talking about here. Of course he does. You need to elevate Russ's game. He's going to be better than what you had. That doesn't mean he's going to be great unless you've got good players around him. But you look at the cornerback room, I don't think it's very good at all, frankly.
No.
But T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, you think even about Peyton Wilson, who had 6.5 sacks last year. Maybe they have him in a little bit of a Vince Williams role. Landon Roberts is a good blitzer. You get pressure on the quarterback, you stop the run, you're not going to put as much pressure on the corners.
Yes.
But just listen to this. Joey Porter Jr., I think he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to have a great year. I think we're going to be talking about him maybe as an all-pro. Like, I have that much belief in him. Your number two is Dante Jackson. Your number three right now probably is Corey Trice. Didn't play last year. Darius Rush is another name that they've got. The kid they drafted out of Texas. He's got the measurables. He's 6'3". That entices you. And then you got Beanie Bishop, the undrafted kid from West Virginia, who profiles more as a slot. It's good player, potentially great. Then it's not so good second corner. And then after that, it's a total crapshoot. Like, when I just look at the depth chart, corner is my biggest worry. When I break it down just that way, I go, yeesh, I don't like that room.
Yeah, I think of the corner just so differently. Like, I feel like it's the athletically the toughest position. I say this all the time, but I feel like you can hide some of your flaws by the defenses you play. And you're not going to be in man coverage all the time. Now, if you want to blitz, you do have to be in man coverage, or you do zone dogs, things of that nature. But, I mean, if you're Dante Jackson, if you can't get in the right spot and cover three or cover four or cover two, then you shouldn't be in the NFL. Like, I mean, you know, you're either a nub corner and you have the flat, or you have, you know, a half of the field, or you have a quarter of the field, or you have a third of the field. Like, or you have man coverage. And that's where that some teams will do their damage. So I look at receiver, and I know that Roman Wilson is a fantastic player, but you need to have somebody else that's a sure-hand wide receiver that can almost be your number one at times if you need to, because I don't think that George Pickens is there yet.
Well, there's also that. Like, when I look at the room, again, I look at Joey Porter Jr. at corner and then a bunch of guys. A bunch of guys. Dante Jackson's got experience, but he's not a great player, that's for sure. Like, is he even an upgrade over Levi Wallace? I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
Is he an upgrade over what Akella Witherspoon was for the final five games a couple of years ago? Probably not. So I'm not excited about him at all. He was going to be cut if the Steelers did not trade for him. That's such a crime still to me as we go back and look at that. But when I look at wide receiver, I don't have as much faith in George Pickens as I do Joey Porter Jr.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I worry about George being bought in, snap out. And I feel like if it's the first half, even of game one, and the football's not finding him, he's not getting open, he's not making a contested catch or two, he loses his confidence. He loses his focus. I have big-time worries about that. So as we kind of talk through this, as I'm thinking out loud on the air, like, if you could make a trade for only one of those positions, I am absolutely going wide receiver. Like, no doubt about that. And that's what they're being linked to right now, is wide receiver. So it seems that they see that that's a problem. I still don't think George Pickens is going to finish his rookie contract here. Like, this will be year three. He'll have 1 year following this year. I have a bad feeling about him. And I also think that the organization is not suffering fools as much as it used to.
I will say this, and this is kind of, you know, in a different direction than what you're saying with George Pickens. I think the free agent pool for corner is better than the free agent pool for receiver.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yes, Zaven Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can get a pretty decent veteran corner for your price. in free agency, and then I would rather trade for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Than sign one in free agency.
Yeah, and maybe Corey Trice winds up being good for them. He had a third-round grade. He was injured. We're so excited about Peyton Wilson, and we've written off, basically, that he doesn't have an ACL. He fell in the draft for the same reason that Corey Trice fell in the draft, because he's oft injured. Or, well, at least Trice was oft injured. He's got a lingering problem, Peyton Wilson does. But if we're excited about him, I guess what I'm saying is we should be excited, potentially, about Corey Trice. He'd have played last year, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Thompson was out there. He had a big pick in the Cleveland game, I want to say, on the road. They threw bodies out there. He absolutely would have played. He's going to be in their plans this year. I think Beanie Bishop has a chance to factor into that slot role this year. But it doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. You've got one guy you believe in, another guy that you believed in at least enough to trade for. After that, you're guessing. And they have educated guesses, and they're here for a reason in the eyes of Omar Khan and Andy Weidel and their personnel decision makers. Mike Tomlin, too. But that doesn't mean we have to feel good about them.
Do you think Mike Tomlin's uneasy right now, knowing that he's a defensive back guy and they only have basically like one corner?
I think Mike Tomlin's probably drooling right now with excitement.
Like with the defensive back room?
Just for the defense overall, so much so that he probably isn't overly concerned about corner. Like, if he was, I think the rumors out there right now would be for corner.
Or he just doesn't have the control that he once had before.
I mean, I am. That's probably a bigger topic that we should get into at some point. Think about the last draft that Kevin Colbert had, and now compare it to the last two drafts. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's night and day. It's hogs, it's hosses, it's hard-nosed football players, and we talk about not suffering fools anymore. Every one of these guys hit all the football-loving boxes off the field, too.
Yes.
Like Peyton Wilson, we talked to his defensive coordinator yesterday, and he said, this guy just eats, breathes, and sleeps football. Roman Wilson's the same way. Troy Faltanu's the same way. Zach Frazier's the same way. They got a bunch of guys who are football lovers, have zero off-the-field character concerns, and they just want to go out there and make people feel pain. That's not what they had done in the past. It's a totally different draft class these last two than the final few for the Kevin Colbert era.
Now, I was listening yesterday to the head coach of South Dakota State that was Mason McCormick's head coach with the PM team, and I think Pony asked the question, like, does he like to hunt? Does he like to fish, do all that stuff? He's like, yeah, he basically just, like, put those pictures and videos out so he looked like he had some type of personality outside of football, but he definitely would rather be in the film room or in the weight room every single day.
Yeah.
He said he did that on purpose because he was like, I got to, like, show that, like, I do other things but football.
We all know people that are, like, the couple that you'll go out in public with them and they're bickering and they're fighting and – and then you just wonder, like, how does your marriage work? How does your relationship work? You guys shouldn't be together, but you'll go on Facebook, you go on Instagram, and they're smiling, family photo. I love you so much, John. Oh, Patty, you're the best. I just pulled two random names out. I don't know these people in real life. That sounds like what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, no, I have a life.
Yeah.
I don't only play football. Right. So there's absolutely that was a theme of this year's draft. And you heard similar things from a lot of the guys that they took last year, too, like Keanu Benton, guys like that. So does that mean that Mike Tomlin doesn't have as much of a say? I don't know. I think it's definitely worth exploring with further conversation, Doran. And we'll do a little bit more of that coming up next. Also, what do you think is the Steelers' biggest hole right now? At 412-928-9370, what is the Steelers' biggest roster hole? Best caller wins two tickets to see Better Than Ezra at Rivers Casino Event Center on Friday, May 17th. What's the Steelers' biggest roster hole? 412-928-9370. You can tweet us at _AdamCrowley, at Score and Doran, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our clock is all screwed up this hour because we made Nicholas Harry Callis drink a cup of coffee for the first time in his life. And, well, you can imagine the chaos that is created inside of our good friend.
And now I'm jittery. Woo!
412-928-9370 is the phone number. We've asked you, the people, what is the Steelers' biggest roster hole now coming out of the draft? Wide receiver, corner, is it defensive line? We didn't even get into the defensive line in the last segment, Doran, but it's Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Larry Ogunjobi is your starting three, if you will. Then you go to DeMarvin Leal, Loudermilk, Montrevious Adams, They bring in Dean Lowry from Minnesota, who was hurt last year. They draft Logan Lee, and they've got Braden Fioco, who spent a lot of time on their practice squad last year. Not sure I'm loving that group either.
Yeah.
The hope is, obviously, that Cam Hayward stays healthy. And I guess the hope would be that Larry Ogunjobi reverts to the mean and is the guy that he was before he signed in Pittsburgh, because the last few years he simply has not been good enough.
Yeah, two holes with not much depth on the defense, and highest paid, one of the highest paid defenses. So you would, like, I could have lived with them getting a defensive lineman in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
But also, how could you ignore the two picks they did get
right
in the third round?
Right. I agree with you. I mean, inside linebacker to me wasn't a big position of need, but I don't know how you can ignore Peyton
right
Wilson, like, who has been called by Luke Kuechly as the best linebacker in the draft, a guy that has been compared, in fact, to Luke Kuechly. Kuechly was on with Kay Adams for Up and Adams. It was a really good interview, in fact, where he talked about just how good he thinks that Peyton Wilson can be. I just went through 16 different Wilsons in my head.
I saw that.
Yeah. Dave in Delmont, what's the Steelers' biggest hole?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Dave.
I think they should have went cornerback because they had their pick of the litter in the first round. That lineman looks like he gets pushed around a lot. Secondly, if they were so hell-bent on getting a wide receiver, they had Josh Reynolds in free agency. They wouldn't have had to lose a draft pick or anything. And he played really good that year because the top two receivers for the Lions were out at any given time through the season.
I'll put you on hold, Dave. Thank you for the call. You might win the better than Ezra tickets at 412-928-9370. I mean, I don't look at a single offensive lineman that they took and watch the YouTube cut-ups or any of the quote-unquote film, Doran, and think that guy got pushed around.
No.
Not one of those guys.
Was he talking about Faltano?
Yeah. The best lineman on the best line in the country. A guy that is looked at who could play five different positions, who was almost consensus a top 10 guy on big boards. Yeah, I mean, you can say they needed a corner, and I would agree with that, but you don't have to pull down these guys to say that.
No.
Like, I don't think...
It's not that type of draft.
No.
It's not where we're at.
Right.
We would love to do that.
We'd have a lot more calls today,
yeah,
in fact.
We would love to do that, but we just can't.
No. I try to poke holes in everything.
Right.
We always do. We're going to look at it from that perspective just to see, okay, where did they come up short? I don't look at this and I don't think they came up short necessarily anywhere. They weren't, we said this going in, they weren't going to fill all the holes in the draft. They had too many. It's impossible. They've done a good job with it. What do they need to do now? Josh Reynolds, a good point. Like, I don't know what they didn't see in him. Did I get the name right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had Brian run through my head there too.
Brian Reynolds?
Yeah. That'll happen. I don't know why they didn't like him, but they didn't.
Is he a number two? No.
Yeah, there's probably that.
I mean,
412-928-9370. Lee is downtown. Hi, Lee.
Hey, I got a solution for these guys. I would like them to trade Dan Moore and a third-round pick for Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints. You need a shutdown corner. I know JPJ was good last year, but that was last year. He was a rookie. I mean, I still think you need an established guy there. So I would think their hole is a corner, and you're not going to bring Dan Moore back just like you lost Cukes for nothing last year. People need a left tackle. Dan Moore just started 2 years at left tackle. I will be shopping Dan Moore to try to get an established corner, and I will go after Marshawn Lattimore.
Thank you, Lee.
Lattimore is a beast. I would love that.
We talked off air about Dan Moore Jr. as a potential trade piece. I'd be up for that. I don't know.
That's not enough for Lattimore.
Well, I don't know what you would get for Dan Moore Jr. just in reality. He did start the last few years. He has proven to be durable, but that's just about all he's proven. I don't think you're in a terrible spot if he's your swing tackle. I also think you could go sign someone who's still out there and available, like a Bakhtiari, who hasn't been signed yet, who might factor in and be a swing tackle for you.
I think somebody that would take the bait on Dan Moore Jr. would be the Los Angeles Rams because of how Kevin Dotson ended up. And I think that they could fix guys and maybe offensive linemen for the Steelers. I think that a team that you could actually work a trade for Dan Moore Jr. would be them because of how it worked out with Kevin Dotson. Not saying they're the same position, not saying they're the same player, but I think that they probably think, okay, like, this guy was a starter. They don't feel like he played as well, but we could get the most out of him.
You know what's funny? When Dan Moore Jr. got traded, I thought, or excuse me, when Dotson got traded, I thought, Yeah, I still think there's something in there.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
I was a believer in Dotson when they drafted him. I mean, what, Louisiana Tech was kind of like the guy they just got from South Dakota.
Right.
Like, he wasn't a big school, mean, blow you off the ball, loves football, although that came into question a little bit here with Dotson. When he left, I thought he had something potentially to give. I did not view that way with Kendrick Green. I look at Dan Moore Jr. as kind of between those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not as bad of an NFL player, I don't think, as Kendrick Green was here. I don't know that I see him having the ceiling of a Dotson, who graded out as one of the better offensive linemen in the league this
year. I didn't think Dotson would be the best lineman in the league and making $50 million.
No, I did not
That. So, I mean, that's why I look at Dan Moore Jr. It's like, and if you're a team, it's like, okay, we made a trade for an offensive lineman with this team before. Maybe it was the offensive structure. Maybe it was the offensive in the offensive play calling in the protections. Maybe it was that, because this guy we just paid a lot of money to be our number one guard, and he was graded the number one guard in the NFL out of nowhere. Like, out of nowhere, or was it the Steelers?
Yeah, I'd be looking at them and thinking similar thing. Like, for any, not just the Rams, but anybody. Like,
right.
Hey, okay.
I mean, what happened to Kendrick Green? Did he end up starting this year?
Yeah, he played. He did not play as much as Dotson did, but he played a lot. And he played better than he did here in Pittsburgh. He was always miscast as a center. They were both more usage guys than scouting failures, I think.
Yes.
Certainly in the case of Dotson. And I have a lot more faith in what they're doing at offensive line right now with Andy Weidel here. I mean, you look at what Philadelphia has done, and you think about what already Weidel has done. Sayamalu took a little bit of time to get going, but then he did get going.
I think this offensive line, whether it's roster-wise, whether it's player-wise, is definitely going to be infinitely better. But Arthur Smith is an offensive line coach by trade.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he gets – and I think that this offensive line structurally – outside of just the individuals, will be just fantastic. I think it'll be a whole just night and day, and we will be able to see it, just how they're just put together and the different schemes and things that they do. It'll be just night and day compared to what it was Canada.
How many times do we talk about it, dude? And like, you were the first one who said it this way, and I've been using it ever since because I think you put it so well. You know, there are guys who have schemes and call things with a purpose, and then there's a guy like Matt Canada who is just simply calling plays.
Right.
Almost for no rhyme or reason. And then when he was let go, how many guys did we hear talk about, oh, now they understood the why?
Yeah.
Because even though the Steelers had that hokey two-man offensive coordinator deal, they were being told, here's what we're going to run in this scenario, and here's why. I would think that makes a significant difference.
I mean, the thing that to get the offenses on the same page, whether it's college or it's professional, is not to get George Pickens to understand the why he's running routes and the why that they're calling plays. It's to get George Pickens on a level to understand why they're calling run plays, why they're calling this protection, and for even, you know, Broderick Jones to know why that they're running these pass plays. So everybody knows what everybody is doing.
They're on the same page.
It has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, then what's the point? Like, everybody has to know the moving parts. Now, you don't need to know the whole wide receiver spot, but you need to know the concept of why plays are being called. And if it's to simplify offenses, so be it, but it has to make sense to guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something last year, like, none, like you just said, like, there was no rhyme or reason. There was no, you know, what are we doing? Are we trying to score, or are we trying to just, you know, move the ball within, you know, the 40-yard line.
Yeah, why a jet sweep here? Are you trying to set something up for later? No, we're just doing it because that's what we do.
It wasn't explained probably during the week. It's like, yeah, we're going to run a jet sweep whenever we're on the minus whatever.
Right.
And
there's motion just for motion's sake. Well, why are you running motion? Well, I mean, that's what everyone's doing in the NFL. Okay,
right,
well,
right.
But give me the why. You're trying to take a linebacker out of the box? Let's go here.
It has to make sense. And you could see how, like, an offensive lineman, I know we're getting deep in the weeds right now, but whatever. An offensive lineman like Kevin Dotson,
mm-hmm,
probably understood what McVay was doing. Like, it's sometimes it's that simple.
Yeah,
like, he has a really good offense. It makes sense.
What's Sean McVay known for? Being a really good, smart coordinator, and it's all based around the run. And the Steelers are hoping that they can get that out of Arthur Smith this year. And a good offensive line. We're talking about the holes on this roster. A good offensive line with a step up in quarterback can overcome a lot of ills. No doubt about that. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brian Baldinger is going to join us next. Odyssey NFL insider. He loved the Steelers draft. Why? We'll ask him on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Right now, it's fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 72.